you spend £200 million. I'm Sorrel, and I'm back for season two of the insanely lavish Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams podcast, where hilarious guests get their hands on an imaginary £200 million jackpot on Euro Millions from the National Lottery.
I would buy tickets to go and see Backstreet Boys in the Sphere. I'd buy the Sphere? What are we talking about?
The bougier, the better.
Turned into a lunatic with all this money. Europe. Beach.
So get ready for confetti cannons, champagne, giant checks, and some of the most outrageous ways a person could possibly spend a £200 million fortune.
Jacuzzi karaoke.
Jacuzzi
karaoke.
You can get that Euro Millions feeling every Friday by searching for Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams on all podcasting apps, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. It's a big show, Tim. It's funny. Everyone's talking about it. Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll just jump right into it. Tim, how are you first?
Yeah, I'm good. It's so great. It's something I look forward to every year. It's just the inevitable conversation. And they always trick people into thinking that this year is going to be different. And I know the series is still going on, but I just get a tremendous amount of pleasure from talking about these Leafs in this way.
Oh, me too. And I think more so myself than you, because I grew up in Leafs country, Tim. I grew up in St. Catharines, Ontario, and I was a Bruins fan growing up. Like that was my team. I was diehard. You can talk to my friends. I was Bruins. Most of them were Leafs, and there was a couple Montreal Canadiens fans. And it was interesting to see, and this still carries on today, that the Toronto Maple Leafs and their fans, everybody's included in this, they have an air of just untouchableness. They have an air of, we're better than you. And it gets really, really bad when the team's good. And for the last 6 to 7 years, or even before that, because when I was growing up, they had a good team. Matt Sundin's, you know, Doug Gilmore's, obviously, they were successful. Felix Potvin's. It's just this air of, I'm better than you. I know there's a better word for it, but I can't think of it. It's just like they look down on you. And it's tiresome because when you look at what they've done over the last 50 plus years, they have no right to have that mindset at all. And I did a little research, which I always do for this show. And when you compare them, because the Leafs, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, I would say they're the big team in the NHL, right? Maybe the Canadiens.
Yeah.
So when you compare them to other big teams with the other big four, it's just laughable. The lack of success that this team has had. The Los Angeles Lakers in the last 50 some years have 12 championships. The Yankees have 7. The Cowboys have 5. And the Cowboys are considered an unsuccessful franchise year after year. The Leafs have 0 since their last cup in 67. Everybody was all over the Rangers. Oh, the 50-year drought. We're never going to do it. Rangers won a cup. When you look at the original 6 teams in the last 50-some years since the Leafs have won their cup, Bruins got 3 cups. Canadians have 10. Rangers have 1. Wings have 4. Blackhawks have 3. The Leafs are a failure of a franchise. Unequivocally across the board. They have every asset available to them. They are the most successful when you talk dollars and cents. They make the most money. You have every option available to you. And they still can't win. And in the last 60 years, I can't even think of a time when they went to the cup final, Tim. I don't even think they've been to the finals. So the idea that they have this air of superiority over us is just laughable. These guys should be ashamed to be fans of this team. They should be ashamed to be players for this team and to give the answers that they give at the press conferences and to have any sort of leeway with us is just, it's almost an insult to us every year that they do this to us. where they come on and they go, oh, you know, we got a really good team. We're battling. We've learned. No, you haven't. You guys stink. And game five was a complete and utter just stamp of approval on what I think and what you think, Tim. These guys are a joke. And the fact that they can sit there, it boiled my blood watching the post-game conference, Tim, with these guys. Absolutely boiled my blood. But let's get into it. Because if you rewind, Tim, a week, they were playing game three. It was the second period. The Leafs had scored to make it 3-1. They were going to go up 3-0 in this series. Everything was good. All of a sudden, Florida rattles off 3 straight goals. Morgan Riley scores to tie it up, and then Brad Marchand, the nemesis, wins it in overtime. Since that point, it has been an epic collapse like I've never seen. And we've said that before with this team, Tim. But in 1 week, look at what's happened to this franchise, to these players, to their faithful. It's so incredibly great that I can't even wrap my head around it. We were talking before we came on. It's a 3-2 series. If a series goes 7, it's always at 3-2 at some point. There's never not a time if the series goes to 7 that it won't be 3-2. So why does it feel like everybody's dead to me for the Toronto Maple Leafs players? Why does it feel like we're doing their obituary? There's still a game to be played tomorrow. Like, isn't it crazy?
We're doing a post-mortem on this core four while they're still very much in it. You know, like, if it was the other way around, you would think Florida has a great chance. If Winnipeg wins tonight, we're like, okay, they could make this a series. Something about this team is just, and it's a freedom of association, right? You're like, okay, I've seen these things before. Therefore, I think it's going to happen again. I'm just using my brain here. And it's just, it's so great. We talked about this and let's just back up a couple of days. Like you said, it's, if they had won or in overtime or just won in regulation in game three, they go up 3-0, they're moved on. I think they would have won the series, obviously, right? But it's Brad Marchand, of all people, he gets it. And then you get the next one. And then you get the next one. All of a sudden they go from close, just inches away from being up 3-0 to being down 3-2 in the series. And this is exactly what we talked about on Tuesday, where it's the longer the series goes on, the more chippy it gets, Florida's just chances increase exponentially. And I was thinking about it this morning, texting with my cousin who's out in Cali, but he's like, you know, the Panthers, what they do so well is get in your face and get agitated, throw you off your game. And as soon as you start to match that, the Panthers switch to quote unquote real hockey and they'll go score 2 goals on you in 6 minutes because they have the skill to do that. And all of a sudden it's a completely different game and no one doesn't like them. And Brad Marchand is so perfect for this team. There's a clip of him walking down the tunnel at the end of the game. Did you see this? Mm-hmm. Right at the game's over and the fans are the Leafs fan just jeering over him, screaming at him. He's got like this supervillain, like he's walking away from an explosion, just a little hint of a scowl looking up at the side of his eye. It's just so perfect. It's so wonderful. And the way that it's happening is absolutely poetic.
And to put the cherry on top of this and to even just twist a knife in our backs, we thought they were going to have a bounce back game. I fully expected Toronto after game 4 and that embarrassment of a game where nobody showed up to him. Only Joseph Woll. Like it was awful. I think they had 8 shots after 2 periods. No life. And Florida just dominated. Without their goaltender, Toronto would have lost that game 7-1. The gall of them to just not even show up in this game. This is the most important game of the year to date to get us to the Eastern Conference Finals. And you lay an egg like this, it's just like, what the hell are we doing? Honestly, if you're a player, and listen, I played in playoff games. I've been to the Eastern Conference Finals. People laugh, oh, you weren't playing. I was in the damn room. I was taking warmups. I was a part of that team. You get up for games like this. If you don't, you're just dead. You're not a competitor. You're not an athlete. And the fact that these guys show up to this game and just get worked, Tim. Absolutely taken behind the shed and murdered is a joke. It's an absolute joke to the fans who show up to the game, to us who watch this game. And yes, I know they have a history. This is as bad as it's been. This is as bad as it's been for them. They made it to the second round 2 years ago. They got worked 4-1 by Florida. they were up 2-0 and they just rip your heart out. And good, they deserve every second of this. They deserve it. They don't deserve to win because it's just an absolute just mockery of the game for them to say, oh, you know, they just outworked us. We just, you know, we didn't have it tonight. What does that mean? What does that mean? The one thing you can control is your work effort, your work. That's what you can control. I control if I skate faster. I control if I hound that puck. I control if I back check hard. I don't control a lot of things on that ice. A bad bounce, a ref's decision, what other players are doing. I control if I skate hard. So for you to go up there and say, you know, they just outworked us. That shouldn't be a thing. That shouldn't be possible in game 5 in the second round of the NHL playoffs. Shouldn't happen.
Yeah, it's a legacy defining game for this group. And I know everyone's kind of just, there's not much room on the jumping on the Maple Leafs hatred bandwagon that it's so crowded, but you just have to think about what this could have meant to win that game in their barn, to take the series back and not only to lose. And this is the thing, like they got booed out of the building last night. There were jerseys thrown in the ice. And this happens with the Maple Leafs almost every year. And it's not because they're losing, although it certainly doesn't help. It's how they're losing. It's not showing up. It's getting beaten and embarrassed in your own building. And even Messier and Pronger last night, two of the great, tough champions to ever play the game, like could not believe the lack of emotion coming from the Leafs. They're like, I would be so furious. I'd be screaming. And they just, and we'll talk about the post-game statement from these guys, but it's crazy.
Well, let's talk about that right now, because you bring up Mark Messier. And as I was watching those comments from Austin Matthews, trying like barfing and then coming back to the comments, it immediately struck me back to Mark Messier in 1994. So just picture yourself. You're the captain of the biggest franchise in hockey. And can you picture Mark Messier making these comments too? The question was straight away asked at Austin Matthews is how much do you put on your shoulders going into Friday? This is after a bad loss of game 5. Going into game 6 on the road. You want your captain to inspire the team. You want him to galvanize that team. Throw away that game. You want him to say, you know what? We're going to beat those bitches. Like it's on. Like, you know what? We're not going to take that. That was a bad game. That's not us. My bad. Jump on my back. I'm the captain, right? What does Austin Matthews say? He goes, oh, everybody needs to look in the mirror. Everybody wants to be better. Everybody wants to win. No accountability. None whatsoever. None. I want you to just look right in the camera and you go, this is my team. I haven't been good. I'm going to be better. He goes, well, everybody needs to look in the mirror. No, they don't. You do, Austin Matthews. And just imagine Mark Messier said that after game 5, Rangers Devils. Oh, you know, everybody needs to be better. Yeah, I know. It's good. No, you know what he did? He said, we're going to win game 6. Done. Walked away. We're going to win. And you know what he does in game 6? He goes out and scores a damn hat trick. And he wins it. He scores the game winner. And he wins it. So suck on that, Matthew. You're a terrible captain. Absolutely awful. For you to say that in a post-game press conference when everybody's hanging on every word. Then they ask him, well, is it frustrating not to score? And he drops his gem. Oh, I'm just trying to be a complete player. Since when does a 62 goal scorer want to be a complete player? Score the puck. Stop trying to move the goalposts. You're there to score. You're there to put the puck in the net. Now, all of a sudden, you're a complete player. Are we talking to Scott Laudon? Tim, what's his job? What's Austin Matthews' job?
It's a score. Yeah, and I saw this. Someone tweeted out last night. It's like talking about how good he is at shutting down other people. It's like you're not paying Philip Deneau $13.5 million. You're paying Austin and Matthews $13.5 million to score goals. Yeah, and it's crazy, too. We're up at 10 career goals in the second – 10 career games in the second round. He has 0 goals. Mitch Marner, we'll talk about – he had 0 goals in game 3 – or 0 shots on net. 0 shots on net in game 3, 0 in game 4. Last night, he had 1. And he was a net negative for his team. We have to talk about this play.
Oh, my gosh.
Sean Avery, of all people, is putting out clips on this. Everyone's talking about it. He's in his own zone, just inside the blue line, spinning no-look backhand pass through the neutral zone and misses the man, goes right to whoever that Florida Panther defender was. offense to defense right away. It's in the other zone within a second and a half, and it turns into a goal. And then Marner, by the way, didn't hustle to the back post to stop Boqvist from getting there.
He gets beat by Boqvist. Yeah.
It's crazy. And Boqvist is a good skater. Marner, you're a better skater. You know what I mean? This is your mistake. So, yeah. What's your take on that whole goal?
Typically, when you turn the puck over, you're panicked, and you're doing anything in your power to prevent something bad from happening. He looks like just a ho-hum. Oh, whatever. Someone else will cover up for my mistake. It's just that play right there is a microcosm of who the Toronto Maple Leafs are. No awareness of the game, no awareness of the time of game and what needs to be done. You're down 2-0. You're in your zone. You guys were hemmed in. You're tired. You're changing. Maybe just go up the boards. You know what I mean? Maybe just chip it out. Live to play another day. No. He's playing hero hockey. Like a no-look backhand pass across the middle of the ice. I don't do that in men's league. You know what I mean? I don't do that there. Like, because I know, I'm like, this is not going to end well. But he just does it. And then, like you mentioned, he doesn't back check. Boqvist burns right by him. And then he scores, and you see Marner just sitting there, just like chewing on his mouth guard, like looking up. Like he should be apologizing to everybody in that arena. You should be going back to the bench and breaking your stick. You should show some emotion. It's like, they're like robots. They're dead inside. It's just bizarre. But yeah, that was the perfect play to just wrap up what this team is. They do hope plays. They want to play fun hockey. And then when it doesn't work out, they just pull the chute and they're gone. And that's what Mitch Marner did. Game was over after that.
We asked that question the other day. Once he's knocked out of a series, can he come back in? So far, the answer is no. And it's so weird because they still have a chance. The series is not over. And I know you're rolling your eyes, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that they win game six and then game seven at home. If we thought that this was the legacy defining game, game seven at home, the thing is, you don't have to win. If you force game seven and you lose a certain way, it's kind of okay. Like, you're not going to win the cup every year. Florida's a better team than you. Yeah, you had a 2-0. But if you show up and you lose 2-1 in overtime in a tightly contested, hard-fought game, it's different from what we've seen in these other elimination games.
Tim, that's why the boos started in the second period. That's what the fans know that, too. And they know they're not trying. And they know they're not getting the best effort from these guys. And so, you're right. And they will win game six just to twist a knife even more on Leafs fans, and they'll go home and they'll blow it. They'll get an early lead. And then So this is their MO. They've done this before to the Bruins, where they go into Boston, win a game, come home to Toronto and lose in game seven. So this is nothing new for them, but it is what it is. This is a bad team. And then just to kind of wrap up the post game news conferences, Chris Tanev got thrown in front of the Wolves. And just from an eye test, if you watch them, Matthews looks perfectly fine. Marner looks perfectly fine. Tanev looks like someone just murdered his dog. His face is white. He looks pissed off. He's just upset. And the only thing he says, I need to be better. I'll take responsibility for this. This is my fault. Like, have you ever heard any other player from the Leafs say that? Ever, Tim?
No.
And poor Tanev. Like, he was on a Dallas Stars team last year, and he gets thrown in this mess of a debacle. He was supposed to come in and change the culture, and you get there, and you realize that when your top three guys are not really there to win, they're just there to collect the paycheck and make sure their earrings look good and make sure they get likes on social media. You can't change the culture if your top guys aren't willing to change. So he's just poor Tanev. Like, you can tell he wants it bad. He's 36 years old. Tail end of his career, and he has to deal with these kids, who are not kids anymore, by the way. They've been in the league for 7-8 years. So it's just, I did a little more research, Tim, and you talked about second round production. And I just kind of went on and fired up some stats. Matthews has 5 assists in 10 games in the second round. Marner has 2 goals, 5 assists in 10 games in the second round. That's pretty good. Tavares, he's played in 15 games in the second round, which for his advanced age is terrible. He has 5 points in 15 games. Awful. Nylander is almost a point per game. 9 points in 10 games. And then I went and figured out who their comparables are. And then salary is the main thing you compare guys with. All those guys make over $10 million. Auston Matthews is the highest paid player in hockey at 13.25. So you would think he would have the most points when it comes down to crunch time. So I went Nathan MacKinnon. Pretty good comparable. He makes 12.6. In 32 games, he has 35 points in the second round. And mind you, this a lot of those games were when he was younger and he wasn't getting that many points. In the last like 3-4 years, the guy's an absolute beast in the second round. And then, of course, Connor McDavid, he makes 12.5. He's 42 points in 30 games. 13 goals, 29 assists. And remember that he was in the playoffs his first year. I think they played 7 games in his first playoff soiree, and he only had like 4 points. So the last 3 years, he's been an absolute beast in the playoffs. That's who you guys have to be. So that's the bar. And I'm not saying that lightly. That is the bar. And to say that you're not just a one-dimensional player, you're working on your full game. I think McKinnon's a pretty damn good, well-rounded player. I think McDavid has turned himself into a really well-rounded player. Hey, dum-dum, they still put up over a point per game. So what's the excuse now? Oh, no, I'm really working on my defense. That's why I'm not scoring goals. Really? That's what you're going to lay on us? That's what you're saying. That's your argument. You know, I'm just working on my faceoffs, working on my neutral zone, D zone. That's why I'm not scoring. You got to be kidding me. Isn't that? And they just take it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure. You know, okay, Auston. It's maddening as a former player and now a part of the media that he's allowed to answer that. And no one goes, what?
It's like, try to be a complete player. Moron. You just got scored on 6 times and you haven't scored this entire series.
Yeah.
What? It's crazy. And like everyone is coming after him. Media, like everyone on TV and social media, all that stuff. And rightfully so. And I always forget about this angle too. When John Tavares left New York for this, it was to enjoy playoff success that he wasn't seeing in the Islanders. And the Islanders have had better playoff success without John Tavares than he has on the Leafs. It's just like, it's crazy. It's some kind of black hole or something. I don't know what it is. And it's weird because he's obviously older, but he doesn't have the same, I don't think of him as negatively as I do Auston.
And he doesn't have as much skin in the game because he's not part of the big three young guys, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But then even the Nylander, he showed up. I think I have my own frustrations with him too, but he's not like the other two. Like he's putting up points, he's working hard, and yeah, it's crazy.
They need to be held accountable, and it's starting. Yeah. Jay Rosehill, was he on our show ever?
He was once. Yeah.
So he's been the one constant former Leaf player who has called these guys out, and he was calling out Mitch Marner. He tweeted last night. He said Marner can play the game one way and one way only. When going gets tough, Vanola spin around backhand up the middle is all he has to offer. It's impossible to win playoff hockey with that. The harder it gets, the worse he gets. Nothing will change my mind. You don't have to change your mind yet. That's an honest, exact take on what this guy does. A zebra can never change his spots. You can try you as much as you want. You know, I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to back check. Eventually, the true you will come out. And it's coming up now. And they might win the series, but it's just, it doesn't feel like they're going to win. It doesn't feel like it.
No.
Patrick Marleau has more second round goals than all these guys do. He scored 2 goals when he was with the Leafs in that cup of coffee. He's got more than Matthews. He's tied Marner. Like it's laughable how bad these guys are in the playoffs because they're incredibly talented.
Nick Robertson scoring goals. You know,
Is Boakvist has been a healthy scratch and he comes out and jumps right on the first line and is better than both those two guys. I know what are the odds then, Tim? Game 6 is tomorrow. It's Thursday now. Do you see the Leafs coming back from this? Because it's very difficult for me to see how they fly to Florida and show up. Because you know what you're getting from the Panthers. They're in their mode. Bobrovsky's playing really good. Like really, really good. And Florida is just humming, baby. They look like a better team this year than they did last year. As scary as that sounds. Like they are playing really good hockey. Is there any hope for Toronto?
How would you spend £200 million? I'm Sorrel, and I'm back for season two of the insanely lavish Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams podcast, where hilarious guests get their hands on an imaginary £200 million jackpot on EuroMillions from the National Lottery.
I would buy tickets to go and see Backstreet Boys in the Sphere. I'd buy the Sphere! What are we talking about?
The bougier, the better.
Turned into a lunatic with all this money. Flat by Europe. Bitch.
So get ready for confetti cannons, champagne, giant checks, and some of the most outrageous ways a person could possibly spend a £200 million fortune.
Jacuzzi karaoke.
Jacuzzi
karaoke.
You can get that EuroMillions feeling every Friday by searching for Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams on all podcasting apps, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
Honestly.
In game six, I would say yes. I think in game six, they'll swing so far the other way that they'll make us think something changed. Like they could win game six 4-0. And you're like, oh, this is a different team. This is what we've been waiting for. It's Matthews and Marner, 4 points each. And you get a shutout from whoever's in net, probably wall again. Like, it's like, oh, this is the team. They're not going to let it happen. They've changed. And then it'll put up a big stinker in game seven and they'll have nothing left in the tank. I think they're gonna make people believe. They're gonna deceive yet again in game six.
Just ripped their hearts out. See, I think Florida's too good. If this was reversed and Toronto won 6-1 and they dominated, I would be more inclined to say, Florida will come back. They have that. I don't see it. Based on everything that I know about these guys, they are done. They're going to Florida to lose a game and they're coming back and they'll be fine. Post-game pressers will be good. We made progress this season. We had a really good regular season. We won the division. We haven't done that in a long time. We're close. We're very, very close. That'll be the press. It's frustrating. We just got outworked. It is what it is. And we'll regroup. We're going to have a good offseason. We'll come back stronger next year. That'll be it.
I hope that happens. I hope they do exactly that. I hope they bring Marner back and I hope we can just continue this year after year.
There's no way they can bring Marner back. Let's touch on that a little bit because if this season ends tomorrow, which I think it will, Matthews and Nylander are both locked up long term. Matthews till 2028, Nylander till 2032. So those two guys aren't going anywhere. The other two pieces of the big four are UFAs, Tavares and Marner. What do you think is happening to either of them?
I think Tavares comes back on a team friendly deal, like 2 years. $4 million, $6 million, something like that. I think Marner's gone. I think he has to be. I think this goes back to like, and you can make the argument of like, well, who can we replace that's going to be better than him or put up more points than him? Like, you're not going to find that in free agency. You don't have that in the system. You don't get a better team by getting rid of elite players. But as the Leafs have proven, and Herb Brooks used to say, it's not about the best players, it's about the right ones. And these are not the right players. So yeah, I think he's got to be gone.
And it's funny, people are always saying the thing, well, you got to surround them with, they need more depth. They've done that. They've had really good depth on this team. They've got them defensive help. They've got them goaltender help. The problem is those guys, like that's the problem. Those four guys. So I think it's a net positive to get rid of him. I'm getting rid of him so fast. And don't call me crazy, but I'm taking calls on Austin Matthews. Get him out of there too. Why not? I would keep Nylander and Tavares. And Morgan Riley and Chris Tanev and Matthew Nyes. I throw the C right on his chest. Love that kid.
How tall is he though?
He plays 6'5", but I think he's like 6'3". But he's a moose, Tim. He's a big dude. And I think he has more intangibles than Matthews or any of those kids. I think he's holding back because obviously he's only 22. But give him a little more rope to be a leader and to voice his opinion. I think he would be a fantastic cat. And I know nothing about him at all. So who the hell, what do I know?
He plays hard.
But he does play hard. It's fun to watch him. But yeah, who is the only one, pat me on the back a little bit, that said Marner would play the whole season and be gone for nothing in the offseason? That was me. That's me.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait till it happens. I'm going to the receipts are endless. I'm just going to start tweeting people. See it? Suck it. See it? Suck it. Did you see that? Suck it. And then, you're such a goon, you don't know anything. All right, moving on. There was another game last night, kind of overshadowed by the early game, Toronto, Florida. Everybody's shocked by that. Then the Edmonton Oilers went out, and they played a fantastic game. A game that I didn't think they were able to play. It was a tightly contested, tightly checked, no one giving an inch type of game where the chances were hard to come by. And when you think of an Edmonton Oilers game, it's run and gun. It's who's going to score the most goals. That's the team that'll win, especially with the goaltenders and the defense Edmonton has. Well, they very quickly, Tim, and I got called out in Slack for this too, because I was giving them too much props, and it was Loretta and somebody else giving me crap. The Oilers are playing hockey I didn't think that they could play. And they proved it again last night. They win 1-0. They win 1-0. And they beat the Vegas Golden Knights to advance to the Western Conference Final. What was it, the third year in a row? Fourth? I don't even. But they did it very methodically, workmanlike. And now they're up to the Western Conference Finals waiting for Dallas or Winnipeg. And they I don't think they played their best hockey yet, Tim. That's the scary part. Like, I don't think McDavid has shifted into top gear just yet. I don't know. What did you think of the game last night? Because it was pretty boring, to be honest with you, but very exciting.
Well, that's exactly right. It's boring but exciting, because it's exciting that a team like this with that much skill can play a boring 1-0 game in an elimination situation. That's something by comparison, Toronto hasn't been able to really do. So it's really cool to see that team, you know, shift gears and just, again, it's the depth that stepped up, where you get the overtime goal from Kasperi Kapanen and you're moving on. And like you said, they haven't played their best hockey, but the fact that they can keep the mistakes to a minimum like that, a tight checking game, they're you know, not drawing a ton of penalties, they're not taking a ton of penalties, they're just playing really good, fast, simple hockey. And to do that for 60 minutes plus in overtime is very difficult to do, especially against a team like Vegas, that they're not Florida, but they have their own bunch of, obviously, skill, but like grinding sandpaper type of guys that'll drive you nuts and try to, you know, work you the extracurriculars and you don't fall for it. Yeah, it's just an excellent series. And I'm really disappointed with Vegas, where I thought, you know, they were better than this. And maybe it's just more credit to Edmonton, but they didn't really show up in this series. At least it didn't seem like they did. And you think with a team like that, with that stack, and I go back to their deadline last year, you know, a year and a half ago, and they added Hanifin and Hurdle, which was the best defenseman and the best forward on the market. They also added Anthony Mantha. Back to that time, they're now 4-8 in the playoffs in three series, which is just crazy. So
yeah,
I'm a little bit disappointed in that team.
Maybe getting rid of Huberdeau maybe wasn't the greatest idea. And so, yeah, I'm disappointed too. With this roster and the expectations that they had, they laid an egg. They absolutely did. So, I don't know. Or maybe the Oilers are just that good. They can play a team and make them look bad. But it seemed to me like Mark Stone was very pedestrian. Thomas Hertl wasn't really playing to his best. Jack Eichel had moments where he showed flashes of how good he was, but he was definitely limited. And then on the back end, they made some defensemen look really silly. I think Braden McNabb didn't look that good. I like their defense, but it just, Edmonton's better. They are.
And William Karlsson said after the game, he said, quote, it felt like a wasted year. And this is, that's kind of what you want. Like, it's disappointing for him, but you want that level of intensity. Like, you want him to be miserable and letting people know and showing that emotion. And you don't want to hear from that, like, hey, you know what? I'm proud of what we did. We'll be back better next year. We have another chance next season and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm putting words in the horse's mouth for Marner and those guys, but that's the kind of stuff they're going to say when they get eliminated. And I want them to say, this was a wasted year. We're wasting our time as a group. We, you know, it's on me to be better, blah, blah, blah. But I like that from Karlsson, who, by the way, has a ring on his finger.
Yeah, so. And he knows how to win. And they know they had a missed opportunity. Obviously, they've had some injuries this playoff season and they're getting a little older, but they expect to win Stanley Cups. That's the difference. They know that this was a missed opportunity. They have the team to do it, and they didn't show up. And so that's kind of the difference. Where Toronto, they don't have any expectations. You know, it's just, I know we keep going back to that, but they don't, because they haven't set them. This is as high as they've gone. Like, game 6, round 2 is as far as they've got ever.
So, and we'll touch on the other series quickly. Maybe there's some recency bias here because they happened last night, but do you feel like we're heading for a Oilers-Panthers rematch here?
It feels that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, really does. Because I don't even know what the other Eastern Conference series is.
Yeah. And I think it's Bruins-Rangers, maybe?
Was it Bruins-Rangers? I don't even know. So, yeah, it feels like Panthers are going to take it. They have all the momentum. And, yeah, the Oilers look very, very solid. And wouldn't that's what we deserve, because that series last year was just incredible. Absolutely. We did Florida go up 3-0. Edmonton comes storming back to make it 3-3. and then they take it to overtime in game seven. It was, I get chills thinking. So yeah, it does feel that way. And then I was reading some articles, people saying, is it time to blow up the Leafs and start the rebuild? It's like, what rebuild? Rebuild what? Rebuild the team that gets out of the first round? Like this, it's funny that all the things that rebuild, these are failures. This isn't a rebuild. The rebuild needs to, this is the rebuild. We're in the middle of the rebuild with Toronto. It's just, it's bizarre.
The division. What? It's not about a better team rebuilding. It's crazy.
But you rebuild Stanley Cup champions that all the players have been priced out. That's what you rebuild. You rebuild the Hawks and the Red Wings after there, and the Penguins and the Capitals. It's because they've won a Stanley Cup. And now they have to retool because everybody has poached their roster. You don't say it's a rebuild with a crappy team. I don't know. It's just funny, yeah. the language people use. All right, let's talk about tonight's games, if you
real
want.
Real quick, they don't have a first-round pick for the next 3 years. They don't have one this year. They don't have one next year. They don't have the one the year after that. I think that's as far forward as we go. I'm just looking at Puckpedia.
How's Scott Laughton looking? Fourth line. What is going on? They gave up a first-rounder for him. Tarlo, he's been okay. Gave up a first-rounder for him.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, it's so fun. And we always, how do we get back to the Leafs? Yes, Vegas is out. Oilers move on. Stuart Skinner looks like he's back to a normal self. It was a blessing in disguise when Picard goes down, because now Stewie's got the net again, which I knew he was going to get it. He won't relinquish it again. And the Oilers are looking like a very, very strong team that has a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
So two games tonight. We have Dallas against Winnipeg. They're up 3-1 in that series. And Carolina against Washington, also up 3-1 in that series. Both games are on the home team for the team that's down, Washington and Winnipeg. What are you expecting tonight?
I expect Hellebuck to play lights out and Winnipeg to get the win at home. He plays great at home. He's terrible on the road. So when's the last time he's won a road playoff game? And that's an honest question.
I'll look it up right now.
It's definitely not this postseason. So I don't know when he has been successful on the road, but at home, he's very, very solid. So I think Winnipeg will win. They'll bounce back. And I think Washington, oh God, they got to show up. You know, I think Carolina wins a series inevitably. But I think, yes, I think both teams that are facing elimination win tonight. I'm just an optimist. You know, I want there to be good hockey. So no one will go home. What do you think, Tim? Is anybody going home?
Yes, I think Carolina is going to win tonight.
Yes. Oh, you do?
Yeah. I think Carolina wins tonight, and then I do think Winnipeg wins at home, like you said. I hope they both extend. I'd love to see them both go seven just to get more hockey, but I think Washington's just tapped out right now.
I know. Yeah, the rebuild on the fly isn't really working out right now. You got to get rid of Ovi. I think that's it. You need to get rid of Ovi. You got to regroup and get some younger blood in there, because they have some young pieces, which this team could build on.
I just looked this up. Hellebuck, his last win on the road in the playoffs was April 2023. He won in Vegas game one, and then they lost the next four straight. So,
we were joking around before we came on. Tim said, you know what's going to be funny? Is a team is going to get Hellebuck and Marner this offseason, because Winnipeg will want to get rid of Hellebuck because he can't do it in the playoffs, and Marner will walk, and then that team will win the Stanley Cup. Be very fun.
Amazing. Because it's
definitely possible. And then let's touch on Marner. We'll go back to him. So if you're a GM and you're GMing this offseason and you're looking at the UFAs, you go, he's probably the most coveted GM or unrestricted free agent there is. Is he losing money right now by playing how he plays?
He should be, but he's probably not going to, just because it's the whole shiny object and I can fix him type of thing, where if he plays on my team with my guys and my system, I know that we can take that to the next level, you know? Yeah. And I just it's hard not to look at that one pass, that one play, and see everything you need to know about who he is as a player and what's between the ears. But someone's going to give him that money. I think he's going to get it. And the crazy thing is, remember when Colorado realized they weren't going to be able to sign Rantanen, they offered him to Toronto for Marner and Marner blocked it. And now he's doing this. And the Leafs fans were like, we could have had him locked up long-term doing what he's doing for us instead of Dallas. And Yeah, it's nuts. But yes,
it's the ultimate question. On that one by Marner. So Rantanen blocked it.
No, Marner blocked it. He said, I want to be here. I'm not interested in moving.
Imagine that.
I don't know if it made its way to Rantanen or if they were just kicking the tires or what, but yeah.
Yeah, he'll get $13 million and he will immediately be overpaid and the team getting him will be, they'll regret it. But
I'm just looking amazing. At pending UFAs. Marner's number one by points this year with 102. And after that, it's Duchenne, who's like 35 years old. Tavares is third. He's like 37 years old. Granlund's old. Ehlers is going to stay. Then you get like Donato and Brock Nelson and Brad Marchand. Like, there's not a big free agent class. It's Marner, and he's going to get a lot of money. And I can't wait.
And the Leafs should have traded him when they had the chance. So suck on that one, Toronto. You really blew this opportunity. But at least they made it to game six of the second round. Inching forward. That's all we're doing. We got farther this year than we ever did. So technically, pretty good season. You know what's funny? Oh, yes. Aside from hockey, before we came on the air, I got a call from my wife. And she goes, hey, you're the new coach of the team. I'm like, what are you talking about? She signed my daughters up for softball. And instead of just joining another team, she just created a new team. And now I have to coach and now recruit kids to be on this team. And I just found out. And the season starts like in 3 weeks. So, and then we just started to record. I'm like, how do I get a team? And it's girls softball. So I got to like, knocking on doors trying to get young girls to play my softball team. Very strange.
Well, you have basically enough kids in your family to build a whole roster.
I know, but it's 9 to 11, so I only have 3 kids from 9 to 11. Gabriella is going to be a powerhouse. They're going to be checking her birth certificate because she looks like she's 18, 19. She's so tall. Did I tell you I went up to Tech when I got into the Hall of Fame? We go to the beer tent and they give me a wristband for beer. Ava obviously gets a kiddie wristband because she's only 13. Gabrielle is walking beside me and they give her a wristband thinking she's my wife for beers. What? I'm like, hello? What the heck? Because she had like it was colder. So she had a hat on and she was looking down, but they just saw the height. I'm like, she's 11, you guys.
Like
11.
She's tall, but she still looks like a kid.
I know, but they must have not seen her face because she had a hat on and she had a hood on or something. But I was like,
that's funny.
Just got some free beers out of it because the tab had like 2 beers on the wristband. I was like, give me those. Thank you. But yeah, she's going to be dominant in this. Like, they'll be checking her birth certificate. It'll be like Little League World Series when Team Mexico comes or it's like, check their birth certificate. Pedro looks like he's 45. So it's just 12. One of those deals. Yeah, I am 12. All right. We might have to cut that out. We'll see. But
no, it's fine.
No. All right. Anything else, Tim?
No, big games tonight. Big weekend too. I can't wait.
All right, we might have to do an episode tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Cheers.
Spend £200 million. I'm Sorrel and I'm back for season 2 of the insanely lavish Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams podcast, where hilarious guests get their hands on an imaginary £200 million jackpot on EuroMillions from the National Lottery.
I would buy tickets to go and see Backstreet Boys in the Sphere. I'd buy the Sphere! What are we talking about?
The bougier, the better.
Turned into a lunatic with all this money! Flat Europe!
So get ready for confetti cannons, champagne, giant checks, and some of the most outrageous ways a person could possibly spend a £200 million fortune.
Jacuzzi karaoke.
Jacuzzi
karaoke.
You can get that EuroMillions feeling every Friday by searching for Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams on all podcasting apps, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.